Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today truly is an episode. took us a little bit to get everything organized. So, my name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff, and we're going to surprise you with a sponsor at the half hour. We're not going to tell you who it is right now.
You can just wait.
Yeah, you're going to be surprised.
Because we're making time here. Literally, we're making time. We have a little pop-in guest before our... Oh, sorry. My engineer needs something that's on the floor. Just a sec. We have the Deputy Consul General of Israel. There. How's that? I just talked to him on the phone, too. He's very nice. Matan Zamir is Israel's Deputy Consul General to the Pacific Northwest. He's been a member of Israel's Foreign Service since 2011, previously serving as the Deputy Chief of Mission at the Israeli consulates to Mumbai and to New England. He's all over the place.
Currently
he's at the office there in San Francisco where I had been before. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't get in there with a paperclip that wasn't authorized. It was really fun. I'm like, these guys are so good at security.
I gotta wonder what it's like now though.
It's like the safest place in the world. And he was also with the Israeli Defense Force. He has a decorated career with the Israeli Defense Forces and served in the IDF from 2000 to 2003, retired as a lieutenant, and trained over 1,000 cadets. That, of course, would have significance today because he's talking about the update of what's happening in Israel. And today is the 16th of May, 2021, in case we air this at a different time and you're wondering what the heck is happening. So on the 16th of May in 2021, this is the state of the affairs in Israel. So Matan, fire away. It's all yours.
Hi. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Bill, for hosting
me. Thanks for coming on.
I challenge you to bring your paper clips and see what happens. No, I'm kidding. Don't come. It's okay. It's safe. It's fine. Yeah.
I left my handgun at home. I just didn't want to cause a scene.
So as you mentioned, the date is, it's our seventh day of, what we call Operation Guardian of the Wall. Started last Monday on May 10th when we had rockets fired from Gaza to Jerusalem. And since then, the last time I checked was about an hour ago, over 3,000. The number was just updated to over 3,000 rockets fired in less than 7 days from Gaza to different parts of Israel.
And just to give people some perspective for that, because if you see Israel on the map, you might not, negotiate the size, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it is 1/11th the size of California.
I think even smaller than that. I think even 1/19, but it's the size of New Jersey.
Of New Jersey. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So when you have 3,000 rockets firing at something the size of New Jersey, that's really significant.
It is, and the initial target, so out of those 3,000, the first 7 missiles were targeted towards Jerusalem. Even though allegedly Hamas was firing these rockets, were trying to protect Jerusalem, but didn't mind firing 7 rockets at Jerusalem. But then the rest, mostly around the Gaza Strip, the Gaza envelope, which is the southern part of Israel, southwest, and then the other populated areas, Tel Aviv, the greater Tel Aviv area, and beyond.
I don't think people in the U.S. can't really appreciate that. People in other countries maybe a lot more. But there's always a lot of discussion about the fact that you guys always start it. That's what they always say. I know that that's actually not true, but when you get faced with that, what's the official response to that?
So you're right. And if we go back in history, we see riots and we see pogroms or violence against Jews from even before 1948, before Israel was founded. We see in Hebron in the 1920s, and we can go back and back. Israel never opened war. So it was always, there is a reason we call our army the Israeli Defense Force. because we do our best to defend our people. And every time, let's take this round, for example, we see months, years, weeks, and especially the days before, we see waves of incitement, not only by Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, but also by senior folks from the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. One example is a video that I've seen a little over a week ago of a Hamas leader, a senior Hamas operative, calling the people, not just the Hamas operatives or the terrorists themselves, but every Palestinian to buy a $2 knife and just walk down the street and cut the necks or the heads of the Israelis and the Jews who live there.
Wow.
So that's one of many, many types of incitements that we see happening. That leads to Monday, where we saw the first rockets fired from Gaza. Israel took a long list of measures to de-escalate, actually, because we've seen the incitement around the holiday of Ramadan and around Ramadan and the area of Jerusalem. We've seen the incitement. So then we prevented Jews from going on the Temple Mount, and we derailed our March of Flags, the traditional Jerusalem Day parade. Monday, the day of the beginning of this operation, was a national day for us, Jerusalem Day, just in order to de-escalate. But in response to our attempt to de-escalate, we got those 3,000 rockets.
Wow. So how do you negotiate with folks that you know, in high places that talk that way? How do you sit down and negotiate with them?
On one hand, I'll say the idea is to negotiate with, when you negotiate with anyone to make peace, you negotiate with your enemies. But in this specific case, with these specific people, I agree with you. It's impossible to negotiate. People
No.
who are so fueled with nothing but hate. The idea is to make sure that when they act on it, that we're stronger and that we're able to retaliate and we're able to defend ourselves. And in this context, make sure that we destroy Hamas headquarters, we destroy Hamas infrastructure, and we kill those terrorists before they're able to kill us.
So are the rockets still being fired as of today?
Yes. Unfortunately, there's an app. I would not recommend people to, unless they have to download it. It's called the Red Color, where I think every single Israeli has one of those. And every time there's a siren, the app goes on. There's the different ways to communicate through TV channels and radio, but mostly Israelis will use that app. And not minutes ago, but I think an hour and a half ago, around the Gaza envelope, that app went up, meaning there's still ongoing missiles on an hourly basis. In the last six nights, more than a million Israeli kids were not sleeping at their bedrooms. They were sleeping at bomb shelters and staircases and safe rooms. And over 2 million Israelis not going to work, not having their everyday life, but being hijacked by the Hamas terrorists.
Yeah, that's... You know, it's really hard to imagine every kid in New Jersey that's sleeping in a bomb shelter tonight. You know, I mean,
people would be
on fire,
out.
Angry yeah. over that. That's not acceptable.
Well, and you were telling me that, again, the people who oppose you, I'm not sure, I've never really understood the logic of opposing Israel when you guys are the ones receiving the rockets. It makes no sense to me, but you said there were protests in San Francisco near your offices?
Yes, we've been seeing protests in different places, and not only in San Francisco, but around the country.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also seen a lot of support rallies and events where people just go out to the street and express their solidarity with what you just said, with Israel's right to defend itself and to fight terror. Unfortunately, there are people who live here, and not only in the United States, but all over the world, who, I mean, for me, it's hard to explain their position, but I guess they support terror. They're motivated from supporting Hamas, who's a, world-recognized terror organization. I tried for me to even try to understand what these people are thinking when we see Hamas not only targeting innocent Israeli civilians, so not only targeting the most dense population center cities in Israel, but also shooting from within Palestinian population in Gaza, shooting from schools, from hospitals, from mosques, from press buildings. They have launchers. There's clear footage of how there's a residence, and right next to it, a launching pad, and how the rockets are being fired from the most dense, on purpose, in order to use the Gazan civilians, the innocent people who live in Gaza, as their human shield.
What do the people of the Palestinians, what do they think about that, having launchers right there in their neighborhoods, near schools and hospitals? I mean, are the Palestinian people backing this up?
So just one more thing that I wanted to add is that not only a lot of people don't know that 30% of the rockets that Hamas and the other terror organizations fire from Gaza actually fall within the Gaza Strip, causing death and destruction not only on the Israeli side to the Israeli innocent and population and women and children, but also to the Palestinians themselves, killing families, destroying homes.
Wow.
Not all the missiles are very long range, so they fall within the Gaza Strip, and that's the result. I think a lot of the Palestinians have been suffering from incitement for years. Hamas, they have their own youth camps, summer camps, school, where they teach hate towards not only Israel, but towards the United States, towards Jews in general, towards the Western world from a very early age. But I'm optimistic in nature, and I believe that the majority of the Palestinians who live in Gaza, they want peace. They want stability. They want to de-escalate the situation, but they're hijacked by a terror organization that their own interest, Hamas' only interest is to preserve and increase their power.
Right.
Well, I would imagine that your ability to speak out against the guys that are firing the rockets is pretty much zero over there. It's like, okay, we'll just kill you now, you can shut up.
A good example to that is what we see in Iran, and Iran is backing Hamas, not by ideology and by funding and money and resources, and it's not very different. People who live in Iran, we've seen these protests, we've seen it in universities in Iran and with the general public, but the Revolutionary Guard and the Iranian regime is so powerful that, like you said, they silence any type of resistance against them.
Sure.
What does Israel know what the numbers on the ground are as far as the Palestinian fighters? Are there thousands? Are there just a handful? Any idea?
So we're talking about, there are 2 million people living, a little over 2 million people living in Gaza. We're talking about thousands. Again, only 20%, again, it's something that not all people know, only 20% of the rockets fired from Gaza are actually being fired by Hamas. What Hamas is doing is not only shooting at Israel themselves using their own operatives, but they also allow Palestinian Islamic Jihad and a long list of other terrorist groups, much smaller groups than Hamas, but who still live in the Gaza Strip. So if I total everything, we're talking about thousands, perhaps more. Mm. And from different branches of the organization.
Right, right. So this isn't just a handful of fighters causing trouble. This is a fairly substantial army that is amassing over there.
Yes, and again, people look at it sometimes as perhaps it's just the people rising and protesting. We're talking about a war machine. We're talking about terror mechanism, money, funding coming from Iran, coming from other organizations, and also international aid money coming from European countries, coming from Qatar, that Hamas, the government in Gaza, people who are supposed to, the same people who are supposed to take care of infrastructure and welfare, they're using the money that they're getting to build schools and to feed and to buy COVID vaccines to feed the population, to build terror tunnels and terror infrastructure. So it's a machine with a money funding arm, and an ideological arm, and also terror arm.
Kind of curious, how much is coming from the United States?
I'm not sure that the United States... So I'm pretty sure that the United States is not funding Hamas directly. The United States is funding the Palestinian Authority.
Right.
A lot of that money actually gets to the Palestinians. Unfortunately, also in the Palestinian Authority, we see money allocated to pay salaries to the families of terrorists. That is not in Gaza. It's in the West Bank.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the American money gets there, but we're not talking about... I don't think there's any American money getting to support Hamas in Gaza.
Hamas, okay.
Well, I was kind of curious about the, you know, your take on the response by some of the elected officials here in the U.S. I think we're looking at it. You know, you've got Ocasio-Cortez and some of these other people. It's like, oh my God, so embarrassing. But there's been quite a bit. So maybe give us a little bit on that.
So I'll say that we're receiving an overwhelming international support. I think more and more countries today in the world understand that Israel is doing the right thing, and it could happen in any other country. If you fight a terror organization, I think the international community will be on your side. Same with we've been getting here, even at the consulate to San Francisco where I work, both Democrats and Republicans, a lot of legislators on the federal level and on the state level writing to us and tweeting publicly and expressing support. I will not get into the internal political discussion between some elements in the American system commenting here or there, but I have to say that the over 90% of the feedbacks and the responses that we've been getting from American leaders are extremely positive.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't expect you to name names. That's not actually, I'm sure that's not going to go over well. The American public reaction, for the most part, has been pretty good, or can you...
The American public?
Yeah, can you tell?
Yes. I think we see a situation where we see a lot of support, like I've mentioned, from people, you know, both citizens but also leaders. We've seen some elements of criticism. You talked about the demonstration. And I think we have a vast majority that is quiet, that either doesn't know enough or just choose not to comment or not. Yeah. And my advice or my opinion on that is to go online, read. There's a lot of misinformation going on, but there's also a lot of videos where you can see for yourself what's been happening on the ground and make an informed decision. I can say that we've been fighting this disinformation. There's a lot of social media materials where we know for sure is, for example, there's a post of a little girl and the Israelis, we are being accused for hurting her. She's in she's in terrible condition. You can see it in the picture. And then you realize that it's a 2014 picture from Syria where 700,000 Syrians were killed by their own administration.
Huh.
That's one example. But there are many of those. So it's a critical thinking, obviously, in general, when you look at social media these days.
Sure.
And choosing what channel to trust.
That's a good question. That's not on my list from Charles. Probably not something I'm supposed to say. He gave me a few ideas, but our time was short with you. But what would, if you were going to point people to good resources for information, what would be your, top recommendations where they would get factual information?
So I think, and, you know, I work for the Israeli Foreign Ministry, but I know for sure that every single piece of information that we send out, there are 10 sets of eyes who are going over it, confirm it, double-checking it. So the information that we send on the consulate platform is 100% verified by a lot of people on different arms of the Israeli government, different branches of the Israeli government. And same with what the IDF is sending. For example, there was an incident yesterday in Gaza where the building where Al Jazeera and AP journalists were sitting.
Yeah, we saw that.
And there was a lot of disinformation about the fact that perhaps this building was just a media building and there were no Hamas operatives sitting in this building or having their office in the building. And there is evidence, there is proof that Hamas used this building. And again, as part of their human shield strategy to use people, population, but also journalists as their human shield, having an intelligence office in that building, what we did, and there's videos of it. The reason I mention it is because there's videos of it on our channel and the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force channel, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs channel, on how this building was informed in advance that there's going to be a strike, how that is the reason that nobody, you know, was either injured or hurt or killed in this the strike, because it was, you know, we're talking about a building that's 10, 15 floors, collapsed, and nobody was injured. That's not just luck. It's because it was previously warned. People were evacuating it. And there's a lot of disinformation, and the channels, the very few channels that are actually presenting the facts on how people were warned, how people were asked to evacuate the building, how the building was ended up attacked, and what was in it, is on our platform.
Okay, and how do people find that? What would be a good way for them to go?
So for us, for example, it's just on Twitter, Israel in SF, Israeli MFA, Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and IDF, Israeli Defense Force. All of those are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc.
Cool. I'm going to post those on our website. So for people who are driving in a car, swerving, trying to write that down, don't be swerving. There's enough of that. There's enough of that going on out there. I'll post those on the site for people, because I get your updates and I find them very, very helpful. I know we only have a couple minutes left, but I also wanted to ask you, you know, I mean, you could be speaking to anybody at this point in time, because our show goes wherever people send it. What would you like to tell people that they're not getting or they're maybe not hearing?
So thank you for, first of all, let me thank you for sharing this information.
Absolutely.
I would also encourage people who, I mean, it can be criticism. We value criticism, unlike Hamas, when you can't really criticize a terror organization. But
yeah,
also signs of support and messages of support, we'll accept everything, and we also communicate on our platform. So if you just go through the consulate channels, we'll be happy to have a conversation and not just you're not just sending messages, but we're also engaging. And what's important to know is that we are in the, this is, it's not just about Hamas and it's not just about Israel. We see, fundamentalistic, extreme Islamic terror in Syria. We see it in Lebanon with Hezbollah. We see it in Iran. We see it in Nigeria with Boko Haram, in Yemen, all over the world. There, agenda is to destabilize. The ideology is very similar between the different organizations. It does not reflect on all Arabs and Muslims around the world. On the contrary, I think we're talking about terror organizations hijacking civil population to serve their own purposes. It's a bigger picture. Israel is currently the one fighting it at the moment, but it can raise its head. We've seen a lot of incidents in Europe and even here in the United States where terrorists have been, you know, trying to violently implement their ideology.
Sure.
So it's a bigger picture. So, yes.
And recruit, obviously.
Recruit and then cause death and destruction.
Yep, it's all about the disinformation. Well, I was looking at the bottom of your bio. We should tell people, too, that you grew up in Jerusalem, and your family's lived there for 9 generations. So
right, and that's, so this, Jerusalem is in my heart. Even though I live in San Francisco now, Jerusalem is part of the Yesed Amnat generation. And to go back to what we started with, the fact that the Hamas used Jerusalem as an excuse to protect the Temple Mount from the Israelis who've been allowing, you know, anybody to pray on the Temple Mount since 1967, but then a day later, sending rockets at Jerusalem that could easily target that same Temple Mount, that's, I think, a good example of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And for me, any rocket fired at Israel, but particularly in Jerusalem, which is my hometown, breaks my heart.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Well, we really appreciate you popping on with us today, Matan. I'm sure you have things things to do. The weather's nice. You're not currently being shelled, although Shalomi's in Israel, right? Your boss?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Shlomi. Yeah. Shlomi's in Israel with his family, running back and forth from the bomb shelter.
Ugh.
And
ugh,
working remotely, yeah.
Who would have thought he'd be happy to get back to San Francisco, but...
Yeah.
He's like, I just got to dodge the homeless people. That's nothing. God.
Right. Yeah.
Don, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and thanks for reaching out. We'd be happy to have you on any time. We'd be honored to do more updates on what's happening in Israel.
Thank you both.
All our best to you and the folks there, and we hope that Hamas finds something better to do. Or
sounds good.
Maybe accidentally goes away.
Yeah, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Goodbye.
You are listening to We the People. We'll kind of start again here at the bottom of the hour. You can find everything about the show at wethepeopleradio.us.
Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Grass or short, don't get your money's worth. With this show, it had my power.
There we go. All right, so... We started off a little kooky, and we preempted our little sponsor announcement, so hit it, Bill.
Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery is located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard up in Shasta Lake City. Go by and see them for all your John Deere products. They got great inventory and lots of folks there that can help you. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Nice.
There we go.
Ta-da. So we're going to swerve into our next topic that's kind of not related, although interesting segue. Our guest is Peter Friedman, and he has been with us before on a variety of topics. You'll notice in his bio, he has done a lot of research and has tons of expertise on Islam and the Quran. Slight tie to the earlier thing, and I posted all the previous shows, actually. I think you'll find them very interesting. He also has firearms credentials and experience up the wazoo. He's a pilot. He's just done all sorts of stuff. He's just a man of many talents. We love having him on. We did a whole big home defense, two shows on home defense in December with him. Those are posted on there. Lots of people found that helpful. So... always timely. You can go back and listen to those. That is not dated information. Today, we are going to swerve into the China virus and vaccines.
I understand China has a really good vaccine right now. You can get it at a discount. I think they're going to serve it up at Walmart. But it's free, but it's maybe...
might make you glow in the dark, but...
yeah, you might have to get three or four of them.
Other than that, don't worry about it.
Yeah, three or four of them to make it
work. So this is
going to
be kind of a fact or fiction thing, and Peter's a really, really good researcher, and he has sent us, and we have listed, I can't even now tell you, probably one, like 10 different documents on here. So he's not actually talking off the top of his head. There's also a PowerPoint linked that you can follow if you would like to. And when Robert gets the video done, the PowerPoint will be on there. So you know, full experience program here. Hey, Peter. Thanks for giving
How
Israel...
Hey,
thanks for deferring to Israel so they could do an update on the rocket fire at the...
Well, you know, it's funny. It occurred to me while listening to him that what would our reaction be if Mexico started sending rockets into California... and Arizona and Texas
and they were, you know, bombing San Diego.
Oh, that's that's an easy one. We would just get John Kerry and James Taylor together, and they'd go down and straighten that whole thing out. That'd be no problem.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm reminded of Pancho Villa back in, what, 1916 and Blackjack Pershing?
Yep.
And how we sent Blackjack Pershing down there with the military and to wipe these guys out. I don't understand why people are constantly, you know, haranguing Israel for trying to defend itself. What would you do if you had 3,000 rockets that landed right in your big...
Yeah, anything you could to make it stop.
I don't know how many people have been to New Jersey, but New Jersey's not very big. And when you start looking at the size of Israel and you look at the volume of rocket fire, that's terrifying. I mean, the idea of shooting rockets at the United States, well, heck, you could be reasonably assured you're not going to be hit. But when you're in that small a space, you're sitting duck, and they're right next door. I don't understand the support either. So thanks for letting those guys come on. And you have a family connection with Israel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Quite extensive. Going back to... earlier in 1948, when Israel became a state, David Ben-Gurion's wife was my grandfather's surgical nurse in his medical practice in New York.
Oh, wow.
And Ben-Gurion came to New York in the late 20s to see my grandfather, and he ran into this beautiful Polish woman named Paula in the office, and he came back several more times, and I think just to court her, and then he married her and took her back to Israel with him.
So, nice. And
very long, right?
Yeah, and you had you had family murdered in the Holocaust by the Nazis. I mean, it was just interesting.
Oh,
you
yeah.
happened to be the guy that was going to be on following them. I thought, wow, kind of timely. So not to steal from you here in your awesome research, because this is a huge topic, this COVID vaccine thing, and we're down to the part now where they're giving away hamburgers to get people to get the shot. So,
well, good.
Yeah,
let's
do some factor fiction there.
This.
Yeah.
Okay, I put the PowerPoint, which is on your website, and I would love to have people just click on that and they could follow along. But I have more information here in the last 3 weeks. Since I developed the PowerPoint and started lecturing to people about it wherever I can. Let me tell you a little something about the vaccines up here for people who are just tuning in. The vaccines are produced with a protocol called mRNA. It's messenger ribonucleic acid. We can get into the woods on that in a little while. But it's never, ever, in the history of mankind, ever been used to produce a vaccine, which is why the FDA still has to issue emergency use authorization for it, because there have been no clinical safety trials. Now, when we talk about the trials that have been done, and this is very important, I have recently discovered about a week ago that when Pfizer, for example, supposedly did clinical trials, what they did was they excluded certain groups of people in the trials to decide whether or not it worked and it was safe. The people that they excluded were pregnant women, people who had heart attacks, and people with diabetes, okay, and people who had COVID and recovered. Now, the reason that they excluded these people is because they did not want to see any adverse reactions in these trials. One of the main problems that exists now today are people who have had COVID and recovered, because then when they do the blood antibody test, they discover antibodies. Now, I have personal friends of mine who, in fact, contracted COVID. It was not severe. They recovered, and then they turned around and they got the damn vaccine. Now they are sick as dogs.
Yep.
two of them after the second one have died 3 days after they got the second shot.
Yep.
Because what happens is when you have the antibodies built up, now you inject the vaccine and they fight with each other. Mm-hmm. Because the antibodies now feel as though the vaccine is attacking them. Now, let me explain to you how that works. Imagine in the old cowboy days, in the sheriff's office, there were wanted posters for bad guys. So what happens now with the vaccines is that the antibodies take a look for the wanted posters of the bad guys. The problem is that they will tell you at Pfizer and the rest of the pharmaceutical companies, well, there's no dead virus in this vaccine. That's true. But what is in the vaccine is the wanted poster. So I have this directly from several molecular biologists that I have talked to in the last 3 weeks. And what they're saying is that what the pharmaceutical companies have done is they have put a recipe or a blueprint, or if you would like, a wanted poster, okay, for the virus into the vaccine. So that now if you have had COVID and you've built up antibodies and you take the vaccine, all of a sudden the antibodies recognize the wanted poster and they start to fight it.
Right.
Okay? So there are a whole bunch of lies out there about this stuff. There are obfuscations about this stuff. I have a suspicion that this really involves a lot of money. And just this morning, which is really interesting, I was watching Maria Bartiromo on Fox. And she was talking about the vaccine at Anthony Fauci. And she was mentioning, and she played the clips of Senator Rand Paul basically interrogating Fauci in front of the Senate the other day. And Fauci was absolutely adamant that the United States government and the NIH and the NIAID, the Infectious Diseases Agency, never financed any gain-of-function experimentation at the Wuhan lab. And the man lied through his teeth, because I found earlier this week, I found the exact proof. It's documented. It's now on your website. It's all the way at the bottom, and it's about the bat virus. And this is a report that came out, you ready, in 2015. And if you will scroll down, there's 8 pages. You won't understand most of it, but if you scroll down to where Shengli Shi, who was the bat woman that they call in China, who knows more about these viruses than anybody in the world, she acknowledges the funding for the research by the NIH.
Hmm.
Now, I don't understand why investigative reporters, and I don't care what agency you work for, are refusing to accept this information other than the fact that it was under Obama.
Oh.
Now, I also have this famous PAWS document. There is the document, you put it on your website, concerning how under Obama there was this order that stated that we could not, in fact, and this is going way back to 2014, I think, that states that the United States cannot engage in any gain of function, and that means to enhance the virus so it's worse. Any gain of function research in the United States. Now, when you go down to paragraph.
Hold that thought, though. We got all screwed up this hour. We're normally going to only have 2 breaks, but we had to kind of cram them both in on your part. Sorry. Quick break. We'll be right back, but I hope that people go to the website and look at the documents we have posted, and anything else we talk about, I'll continue to add it as we go. You can find that all at
wethepeopleradio.us.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys. You gotta draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Doctor isn't Fauci anyway. He's not curing anything. So, Peter, go back to the gain of function and tell me which document that is, please, and I will put them in order.
Okay, well, if you,
oh, it's the first one, actually, right?
Pardon?
It's the first one I listed was the gain of function one.
Yes.
Okay.
And if what gain of function is you have a virus, and the virus is not that contagious and whatever, and then in the laboratory you modify that virus to make it a lot more deadly and a lot more contagious. That's called gain of function. Now, when you go down to the bottom on the website, you will discover the bat virus paper that was put out in 2015 by the people in Wuhan talking about gain of function and freely admitting down there and thanking Dr. Fauci and the NIH for their funding. So when Fauci says that we have never funded, you know, gain of function to China, I mean, that's just a bald-faced lie. There it is in black and white.
And we kind of interrupted you when you were explaining gain of function. Go back to that, because it's a term that's thrown around a lot, and for those of us that are not scientists, you know.
Okay.
Do that part again.
Okay, gain of function again means that you take something that is relatively benign and you weaponize it. Okay? You make it a lot worse to deal with than it originally started out as. Now, that is a man-made situation. While the original virus, coronaviruses, are found in nature, you can also weaponize those viruses through the gain-of-function methodology, where you make them a lot more contagious and with a much higher fatality rate. And that's what China has done. Now, one other thing I want to get in there real quick about the vaccines. If you have had COVID, you have built up antibodies in your system. The antibodies in the system provide long-term immunity to the virus. However, if you have never had COVID and you take the vaccination, about 30 to 60 days after you get the vaccination, if you are tested for antibodies, you have no antibodies, and there is absolutely no way at that point to prove that you ever had the vaccination other than you have a vaccine card.
Mm.
So now when they come out and they start talking about masks, and if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear the mask anymore, well, that's baloney. That's absolutely hogwash. Because the problem here is that the vaccines dissipate the way they're designed within about 3 months. And there is no way whatsoever to test a person who has had the vaccine 3 months later to see whether they actually had the vaccine.
Because there's no antibodies, right?
There's no antibodies.
Right.
That's correct. In other words, what happens with this vaccine theoretically is that they will develop what's called a spike protein around the cell. And they will swear up and down that the RNA material, this messenger RNA material, on a temporary basis, is going to create this spike protein around the cell, but it will not enter the cell and upset or modify your DNA. They do not know that. They do not know that. There is no long-term information whatsoever, even though they had been playing with messenger RNA methodology for something like 15 years or so in a laboratory, but it has never been used on a human being.
But isn't some RNA therapies being used with cancer right now?
Well, they're trying to.
Look at you, Dr. Bill.
But what they've done, that's why they turned around in 9 months and they modified the research that they've been doing to see whether or not this would work. Well, how do you tell if it works? You have to expose people to the virus. Right? I mean, that only makes sense.
Right.
Say, well, show me the data where people who have been vaccinated were exposed to the virus to assure that it works. There is no data.
Mm-mm.
There is absolutely no data. Well, so the only two.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
It sounds like if you were exposed to the virus, you don't want to take the vaccine anyway, right?
That's a medical decision. That's something personal, and I can't give medical advice. I can only tell you what the research shows.
Okay.
So there's only two coronaviruses that ever made headlines. One was the SARS, sudden acute respiratory syndrome. In 2003, it killed 774 people around the world only. I'm glad I'm not one of them. Okay, but the problem is that the pharmaceutical companies thought it was going to be a pandemic. They spent $40 billion trying to develop vaccines, and then the whole thing fizzled out. They lost billions. Hold that thought. And then in 2012, we got the MERS virus, which is the Middle East respiratory syndrome, and that stayed confined to the Middle East and didn't wind up coming over here. Okay, so when COVID-19, and what COVID-19 stands for, COVID stands for coronavirus disease of 2019.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And people were worried when it first broke out that it might not be a normal coronavirus. Okay, what's interesting is that immediately back in September, October of 2019, the Chinese army surrounded Wuhan. Wouldn't let anybody in and wouldn't let anybody out. China at the time reported that they had contained the virus, that there were 83,000 people infected, and they only had 5,000 deaths. Well, we know today that that is a bunch of bull. Okay? When you take a population of 1.4 billion people, and then you take 5,000 and divide it by 1.4 billion, you have a fatality rate that is 0.0005. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the numbers because the media and our government has been phonying the numbers ever since this thing started. What they did was they take the total number of cases on record and the total number of deaths, and they divide the total number of deaths by the cases, which gives you an absolutely false number. I've been a statistician for years. I used to teach statistics. You don't do that. That's a false number. You take the number of deaths and you divide it by the total population, not just the cases that have tested positive.
Right.
That gives you the real number. Okay, we'll go into that. Okay? So severe illness in this virus occurs in about less than 10% of cases. And they have a 98.9% recovery rate if you do the numbers correctly. And we don't do that because the media, you know, wants to put fear into people. Okay, so
about the fear. Hold that thought, Peter. This little segment here was obviously very short, but we've got a whole nother hour, and we will explore the rest of this. I really hope people We'll go online and pull these documents while you're talking and take a look at them. You can find them at WeThePeopleRadio.us.